Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We come to day 205, 206 even. 205 was yesterday. 206 and Numbers chapter 16. Let's pray and then we'll read God's Word together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for this day that you've blessed us with. Thank you for 206 days of rich blessing from your word, and we know that it's only the beginning, that your word is a day-by-day treasure to our spirits, and so we pray that you would feed us with Christ as we dig into your word together today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Numbers chapter 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, and sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with a number of the people of Israel, 250 chiefs of the congregation, chosen from the assembly, well-known men. They assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said to them, "You have gone too far. For all in the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" When Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he said to Korah and all his company, "In the morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will bring him near to him. The one whom he chooses, he will bring near to him. Do this: take censers, Korah, and all his company, put fire in them, and put incense on them before the Lord tomorrow, and the man whom the Lord chooses shall be the holy one. You have gone too far, sons of Levi." And Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it too small a thing for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do service in the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them, and that he has brought you near him and all your brothers, the sons of Levi, with you? And would you seek the priesthood also? Therefore, it is against the Lord that you and all your company have gathered together. What is Aaron that you grumble against him?" And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. And they said, "We will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you must also make yourself a prince over us? Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." And Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, "Do not respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, and I have not harmed one of them." And Moses said to Korah, "Be present, you and your company, before the Lord, you and they and Aaron tomorrow. And let every one of you take his censer and put incense on it, and every one of you bring before the Lord his censer, 250 censers, you also, and Aaron, each his censer." So every man took his censer and put fire in them and laid incense on them and stood at the entrance of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron. Then Korah assembled all the congregation against them at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell on their faces and said, "Oh God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and will you be angry with all the congregation?" And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, say to the congregation, get away from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, depart, please, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be swept away with all their sins. So they got away from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents, together with their wives, their sons, and their little ones. And Moses said, hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, and that it has not been of my own accord. If these men die as all men die, or if they are visited by the fate of all mankind, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates something new, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into Sheol, then you shall know that these men have despised the Lord. And as soon as he had finished speaking all these words, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the people who belonged to Korah and their goods. So they, and all that belonged to them, went down alive into Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. And all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up. And fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men offering the incense. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, to take up the censers out of the blaze. Then scatter the fire far and wide, for they have become holy. As for the censers of these men who have sinned at the cost of their lives, let them be made into hammered plates as a covering for the altar, for they offered them before the Lord, and they became holy. Thus they shall be a sign to the people of Israel. So Eleazar the priest took the bronze censers, which those who were burned had offered, and they were hammered out as a covering for the altar to be a reminder to the people of Israel, so that no outsider who is not of the descendants of Aaron should draw near to burn incense before the Lord, lest he become like Korah and his company, as the Lord said to him through Moses. But on the next day, all the congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. And when the congregation had assembled against Moses and against Aaron, they turned toward the tent of meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, get away from the midst of this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell on their faces, and Moses said to Aaron, take your censer and put fire on it from the altar, and lay incense on it, and carry it quickly to the congregation, and make atonement for them, for wrath has gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. So Aaron took it, as Moses said, and ran into the midst of the assembly. And behold, the plague had already begun among the people. And he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stopped. Now those who died in the plague were 14,700, besides those who died in the affair of Korah. And Aaron returned to Moses at the entrance of the tent of meeting when the plague was stopped. That is Numbers chapter 16 in the English Standard Version. It's one of the most sobering and stunning chapters in the Bible, and we've seen several of those during this Exodus time. And really, some people look at this and they see a vengeful God who's eager to kill people who disobey him and all that stuff. But I think that's a completely upside-down way of looking at this kind of a chapter. I mean, how much had God shown these people of his love? Mm-hmm. How much had God met their needs day by day? I mean, if you go back to all the plagues in Egypt, right? The darkness and the frogs and the flies and the gnats and the locusts and the 10 plagues, sparing their firstborn with the final plagues, 10 miraculous plagues. And then they go out from Egypt and they walk through the Red Sea on dry ground. They're seeing the Red Sea pile up around them. They're walking through on dry ground. They get to the other side. They look back and they see the Egyptian army, the most powerful army in the world, drowned in the Red Sea. Then they grumble and complain, and God gives them fresh water. They grumble and they complain, and God feeds them with manna from heaven. Men ate the bread of angels day by day. It was like coriander seed and like wafers baked with honey. You hear some jokes from people about how bad tasting manna was. Manna was not bad tasting. Wafers baked with honey. The bread of angels is not bad tasting. And that's what they had to eat every day for their grain and drink clean water from the rock every day for their drink. And then they had livestock. They had animals to have meat. They get to the foot of Mount Sinai. God appears to them in smoke and in fire. He speaks his Ten Commandments to them from the midst of the cloud and the fire. You know, God has just shown them again and again that he is powerful, that he is holy, that he is their deliverer, that he is for them. And the only reason why, in Numbers 16, the only reason why the people of God are not yet in the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, is because they refused to believe God's promise and they badmouthed the promised land. They said it was a land that wants to swallow up its inhabitants and it's full of giants and there's no way we can conquer it. It's a terrible thing. They looked at God's blessing, God's gift, God's promise, and they called it a curse, even after all that he had done. You see, you can't just drop in on number 16 as an isolated chapter and say, oh, how terrible God is and how wrathful he is. This has been years. It's been about 3 years of God showing his miraculous hand of power to deliver them, and still they challenge Moses and Aaron. They accuse them of bringing them out into the wilderness so that they would die. They are going to die in the wilderness, but it's not because of Moses and Aaron. It's because of their own refusal, absolute stubborn refusal, to believe the word of God, despite all the miracles they were shown. See, some people will say that today. They'll say, well, I can't really believe in the Bible, but if I were to see a miracle, if God would just heal my grandmother of cancer, or if I just saw someone, you know, get up and walk out of a wheelchair, or if I saw some great miraculous thing, then I would believe. Well, here's a generation of people who saw more miracles than any other generation in the history of the world, except maybe the generation that lived at the time of Jesus, and they did not believe. They would not believe. Their hearts were hard in rebellious unbelief. They accused Moses and Aaron of trying to kill them in the desert and of making themselves princes. They blame everything at the feet. They want to act like they're holy to the Lord. You know, everyone in the congregation is holy to the Lord. Why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? That word assembly, by the way, is this same word for church in the New Testament, this gathering, the church of God. They're accusing them of exalting themselves. And of course, they didn't. Moses and Aaron were called by the Lord. They were set apart by the Lord. So this challenge of the authority of God, this challenge of the promise of God, and then they talk about how they've been taken out of a land. You know, you've brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness. Oh, you mean that place where you were slaves? That place where you had no rights because you were property? That place where your children were killed at birth? Don't you remember that? The Egyptians killed all of your children at birth. Did you forget that so quickly? You want to go back there? You haven't brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey. You haven't given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Well, that was their choice. They refused to go up and take what God had promised. So what does all this mean for us? Well, when the Word of God became flesh, when the promise of God became a man, and he stepped into the world, and he did even more miraculous signs than the Exodus generation saw. He fed 5,000, he fed 4,000, he raised the dead, he healed a man born blind, he healed a man who had been lame for decades. He did these things publicly, openly, in the sight of all. What did the leadership of God's people do? The same thing as these rebellious ones here. They conspired against. They would not have him be their ruler. And they conspired. They did exactly what these men wanted to do that God prevented, and they put Jesus to death on a cross. Our hearts, left to our own devices, without the grace of God to save us and redeem us, our hearts are that dark and that wicked. We are supposed to see ourselves standing in the place of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. If God did not have mercy on us, if God did not change our hearts, we would be that willfully blind. We would be that stubbornly rebellious. Yes, we would. And if we know ourselves, then we have to say, praise God. Praise God. Praise God, because we've seen the greatest miracle of all. Better than bread from heaven, better than water from a rock, better than the raising of the dead, better than the healing of the born blind, it's the raising of this dead soul. It's the opening of these blind eyes. It's the provision of the bread of life to this starving soul. We have been brought from death to life. And that is a blessing that we don't deserve, because really, left to our own, we'd be right alongside Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. We'd be rebelling against God and his appointed leaders. We'd be making excuses for why things aren't fair because we're not getting what we want. We still do that. We still grumble in our hearts. And that shows the truth of who we are in and of ourselves. And it should give us all the more reason to praise God for grace. Grace greater than all our sins. Grace undeserved. Amazing grace that's brought us from death to life and kept us and leads us all the way home. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Only 14,000 people among the children of Israel were killed in this rebellion when they all deserved to die. All of them, because they all grumbled and complained and rebelled. And Lord, so do we. We grumble and complain and at times rebel. We have dark hearts, but you've had mercy on us, and you've brought us from darkness to light. You've brought us from rebellion to loving gratitude. And it's all been by your grace. It's all been by your grace. And so we thank you. We praise you, and we look to you day by day to be our strength, to be our God, to be our guide. Lead us. Lead us on, O King Eternal. By your grace and for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Have a blessed day in the Lord. Mm-hmm.